Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to the best animated shows ever, so far, with MC and Troy.
I'm Troy.
And I'm MC. And this is the best animated shows ever. So far. Where we watch, discuss, and rank every animated show ever eventually. And this week we're talking about episode 2 of Samurai Jack. The future. Right.
The future. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Really? The Wikipedia says it's called The Samurai Called Jack. But I think
really?
At the end of the episode, it's just called 2. I don't think these ones really have official names necessarily. That's right, MC. How's your week been? Before we get to the episode.
This week's been better than last week.
That's good.
Well, last week I was fairly sick.
Yeah. And couldn't sleep. And all your normal things on top of sick.
Yeah, I was sick to my stomach. I did not get coronavirus. I just had a stomach flu or something.
That's right. We still have to specify that because we live in the two countries doing the worst job. Although Sydney's not bad, right? Like your area is not terrible.
No. Yeah. My area is not too bad. Melbourne is the one that's
they're still on lockdown. They're on lockdown part 2.
There's a few breakouts that have happened in Sydney. One of them was actually caused by people coming back from Melbourne. They went down to Melbourne for a trip or something and
brought it back.
They lied about where they were and then they came back to Sydney and two of them were infected.
Wow. My area is not terrible either, but still, like, I see people with their nose hanging out of their masks all the damn time. Like, how do people not understand that the mask has to cover your mouth and your nose? Like, people are just walking around with their masks like this, with their snot nozzle hanging out. And I'm like, you do not realize what that's the hole where the germs are, you monsters. But hey, I don't want to talk about coronavirus stuff. That's a bummer. MC, take me away to a magical, mystical Japanese island where the blossoms blow in the air. How's your Ghost of Tsushima been?
I've actually not been playing. Today I went and played everything else. I literally went and played a bit of Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Okay.
Because there's an expansion, the Jack the Ripper expansion, and you pretty much have to start from the beginning again and do the whole story again, apparently.
I never played that expansion. I remember seeing it. I think the copy I bought came with it, but I never played it.
Yeah, and I decided maybe I didn't want to play the whole game again.
Yeah.
So I then went and played a bit of Factorio. I thought I was going to really enjoy that game. It's sort of like a sim city sort of thing it's like you got to like automate a whole bunch of things and like
it's like SimCity if you started by having to build nails and go up from there.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And I thought I was going to really enjoy it because I used to really enjoy SimCity back in the day.
Sure.
And I enjoy watching people play it more than I like playing it myself.
Okay. I can see that. That seems like it would be a soothing one to watch someone play. Just like put it on and just like, I have not been being soothed by video games. Well, first of all, just a quick mention. Did I tell you I bought Assassin's Creed Black Flag again?
Oh no, you didn't tell me.
I got the Switch version that has Black Flag and what is it?
Rogue.
Yeah, it's got both of those. So I've been sailing around being a pirate and like I was playing the game. I was like, all right, gonna get through some story stuff. Ooh, I have a boat now. And then I just like wandered halfway across the map being a pirate. And then I was like, oh, wait, I was doing story stuff. I have to sail that all the way back now. Shoot.
It's terrible because fun. Black Flag, I did the exact same thing as soon as you get when I first got the boat, because I played it when it first came out.
Oliver.
I was just like, I'm going to sail around and just look for things. And you discover you can start fishing and hunting and
doing whaling
a whole
and
bunch
stuff.
Of other stuff.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm not going back to the story right now. I got all these things I can do. And I literally made a whole bunch of money and then went back to the story all decked out in like everything.
Yeah. That's not the one I was going to talk about. I was just going to mention it. But the two I was going to talk about on my not stress level.
Oliver, what is wrong? Anything? You're just being a poop head.
Just being a poop head. Look, you can see him. Look at him. Look at that little shit. Oh, yeah, you're so fierce. Everybody's afraid of you. Hi.
Yeah, you're not fluffy and cute and adorable at all.
Not at all. MC, I've been playing Doom for a while.
Which one?
Doom. Just Doom.
Oh,
not Doom
just
2016.
Just the original.
Just Doom. Yeah, I bought it on Switch, and I never really played it before. We didn't play games on our computer when I was a kid. We played games on consoles.
We
never really had Doom.
I had the three floppy disks.
Mm.
Yeah, I had them on the three floppy disks. I did not have the internet when I had it, so I never played the multiplayer. But I played Doom a whole bunch
when I was a kid. I've beaten Doom. I've beaten Thy Flesh Consumed, which was the additional chapter they added in like 1995. So there's now four chapters in Doom. And I've beaten Sigil, which is a campaign that John Romero made for like the 25th anniversary of Doom or something like that. That is buck wild. And both Thy Flesh Consumed is just really hard. Sigil is hard, but it's also like got really creative level designs where you end up like continuously like in a level, you keep going back through the same rooms over and over again. And like you'll push a button and you'll be like, what happened? And you'll turn around and like a whole wall will have descended and there's a whole new area that was right next to you and you didn't even realize. It's super cool.
So with the, Thy Flesh Consumed, I found those levels were like a labyrinth and I kept getting lost in them.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing. It wasn't so much running into enemies all the time. It was, where the hell am I going?
There was one in particular. It's like the second or third to last level where there is a teleportation pad on top of a like monolith that you have to ride an elevator up to get to, and the monolith is in the middle of lava. And what they don't tell you that happens for the first time in that level is that the teleportation pad will take you to a different place depending on which direction you approach it from. So each of the four sides of the monolith has an elevator, and depending on which elevator you go up on, it'll take you somewhere else. It probably took me half an hour to beat that goddamn level because I was like just running around like, where do I go? And then I accidentally went through the teleportation pad from a different direction one time and was like, where am I? How did I get here? I'm embarrassed at how long it took me to figure out what was going on in that one.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. Although I think it took me about three tries before I realized, it's directional and
I should say, I mean, I've beaten them. I have no shame on my conscience over saying that I beat Doom and Sigil and I Flesh Consumed. But I saved my game like a lot to beat them.
No.
When I'm like
it's that's a Doom thing that where like, you're like, oh, I'm gonna save now. I beat this room, I save.
Exactly. Pop around a corner and there's one of those big ass dudes with a rocket launcher. I'm like, oop, I'm gonna pop back around this corner and just do a quick save right here, and then I'll go and fight you. Oh, I'm dead. Well, no problem. I'll just reload the save and then I'll go, and this time I'm gonna try and see. Oh, I'm dead. And yeah, because in that same level, the one with the obelisk with the teleportation pad, they just put one of those rocket launcher dudes in a tiny doorway, in a tiny room that you have to get through.
So, the thing with Doom is continuous movement.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep moving, even if it's just side to side.
All the time.
Because that's the big thing. When I'm running at enemies, I'm always moving side to side, so I'm like zigzagging towards them, because the enemy will turn, shoot, and then miss you as soon as you run to the side.
Yep.
It's the only way to... But that rocket launcher dude that you're talking about, even if you do that, sometimes the explosion just gets you.
Right.
And if a couple of them just hit you, you're dead.
Well, and his rockets move slow enough that, like, half the time I strafe back into them because they move at such a slower speed than everything else that I'm like, juke, juke, and then I just juke into the rocket, and I'm like, oh, well, damn. The other game I've been playing is Metroid Prime, which I never really gave a fair shake before, and holy smokes, I'm loving it. It's so good. Da-da-da-da-da, I'm loving it. It's very good, MC. Why didn't anybody tell me how great Metroid Prime was? I mean, besides, like, the whole internet, but it's very good. It's like moody and atmospheric. That one is kind of calm because like you're just exploring these cool runes and stuff, and then some bugs jump at you, and I'm playing it on the Wii, so when the bugs jump at me, I have to be like, ugh! And like try and point my Wiimote at them to kill them, which makes it kind of tougher.
My big calm game at the moment is No Man's Sky, because I can just float around in space and shoot asteroids and do nothing else.
I still haven't picked that up after all the talking we've been doing about it. One of these days.
It's so good. And I've got so many bases set up.
It's in the disk drive of my PS4. Like, I put the disk in and I downloaded all the updates. And then...
You just gotta get on with me one day and I'll just give you all the materials you need to start bases.
It's knowing that I have to start over because they've updated the game so much. That's what's holding me back. Floating around in space does sound cool, though. Have you watched the World According to Jeff Goldblum?
Yes,
it's
all of it. You have twice
all of it. Okay, the scene where it's a docuseries for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's a docuseries where Jeff Goldblum is like, "Hey, what about like?" Makeup's kind of cool. I'm gonna go do like three little documentary segments about makeup, but one of them he does is about pools, and he goes and floats in like a meditation pool, and I don't know why, but just the image of Jeff Goldblum floating in a meditation pool is like I want a poster of Jeff Goldblum floating in a meditation pool, because seeing him in the meditation pool is calming to me. And when I was like floating in space sounds nice. A picture of me floating in space in a spaceship should have popped into my head, but instead what popped into my head was a picture of naked Jeff Goldblum just floating through space like he's laying in a meditation pool. Not naked, I mean, he's wearing shorts, but that's what popped into my head.
The best thing in that show is in the jewelry episode, he gets a grill.
He does. He gets a big-ass golden grill.
Yeah.
It's very good.
It's sweet.
That's
also all the shirts that he wears. I want to steal so many of them.
I want his clothes. Jim Goldblum has the best clothes.
Damn.
Anyway, this is not a Jeff Goldblum appreciation fan cast. That'll be coming up on MC's and I's new podcast, The Bloomcast. But for now, we're here to talk about Samurai Jack Season 1, Episode 2, The Future, or The Samurai Called Jack, or just two, right after these messages.
Hi, this is Troidal Power, the host of Troidal Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast, the podcast where I, your host, Troidal Power, play through games in a powerful way. And right now on Troidal Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast with Troidal Power, I, your host, Troidal Power, am playing through Golden Sun. You should come listen to me play Golden Sun on Troidal Power Presents the Power Playthroughs podcast with Troidal Power. Find it and a lot of other weird stuff at probablywork.com.
And we're back.
We're back?
Yeah.
Are you sure we're back?
Maybe.
I'm pretty sure we're back.
Maybe it's now.
It's been too long since I've seen Spaceballs. MC, Bill and Ted 3 is out, and I haven't seen it yet. And it, like...
Oh, I haven't either.
Listen, man, here's the thing. Bill and Ted's something to share with my older brother. He introduced me to Bill and Ted when I was a kid. I want to watch Bill and Ted 3 with my older brother. Gosh darn coronavirus makes that really difficult. Anyway, we're not here to talk about coronavirus or Bill and Ted 3 Face the Music. Save the Music, one of the two. We're here to talk about Samurai Jack Season 1, Episode 2. I'm not going to name all the names because there's too many of them. So instead, we're just going to get talking about it. Last episode ended with Aku cryptically telling Jack something about, like, oh, the future. And I was like, did he just send Jack through a time portal? But I, like, wasn't super sure that he did. And then in this episode, well, no, and at the end of the last episode, then there was the theme song. Just gotta get back to the past. And so I was like, okay, I think he's in the future. And then this one starts with an opening monologue where Aku's like, hey, just in case you didn't understand, I totally sent Jack to the future. And I thought that was strange.
Actually, it starts with a recap of, like, hey, we had a fight, and then I sent Jack back into the part, into the future. Well, technically, he sent him forward into the future, not back.
He went back. He didn't go back to the future. Yeah. He went forward to the future.
And
yeah, I just thought it was weird. And episode one was cryptic about it, like, whether he went to the future, and then episode two was like, no, he totally went to the future.
Here's the thing, but in the recap, there's a scene where he lands in the future and there's a whole bunch of weird people standing around it, but we're not even there yet.
Yeah, that's what was weird to me. I was like, why is this happening? I wasn't sure if this was like, is this just like the intro to every episode? And like, they put
I think it is.
On episode two, even though maybe they should have waited until like episode four after this opening arc to do it. I don't know. Anyway, that was weird.
Yeah, especially because in the opener, we see a whole bunch of things that happen in the next few episodes and things that happen during the series as well that we don't get to. Like, I'm pretty sure the little aliens with the electrified forks, we don't see them until, like, episode 4 or 5.
Huh. Jumping past that into the episode proper, we see our friend, the samurai, the prince, as the Samurai Jack Wikipedia calls him, falling into the fifth element. And Bruce Willis is there, and Mia Jovovich is there, wearing some band-aids as her outfit, and MC's doing a weird dance on camera. I don't know what that dance is.
Because I got the background. I was doing...
Oh, you were falling through the sky.
Yeah.
I see. He has the city as the background, looking up as if you would see Samurai MC falling through the sky into the world of
exactly. The that's okay. Why I got the...
Gotcha. He lands on top of a car.
The background makes a lot more sense now.
Yes. He lands on top of a car, a flying car. And immediately a police officer starts shooting at him. Like, immediately. And listen, jumping ahead later in the episode, this police officer was not like, he didn't have an alert set up that said, hey, if you see a samurai dude, shoot him to death. He didn't have that because Aku's totally floored when Jack shows up. So instead, this police officer is just like, hey, there's a dude on a car. I'm going to murder him to death now. And he shoots him and the car a bunch. And then Jack, like, jumps off and starts chopping cars in half with his samurai sword. and then he falls down onto the ground layer where there's a big crushing car with spikes on it, just destroying things on the ground, including apparently some set pieces of Townsville from the Powerpuff Girls, which was worked on.
He only cuts one car in half. I want to make that very clear. He only cuts the cop car who was shooting at him in half. The rest he just jumps on.
Okay, that's fair. This scene where the crusher thing's coming at him includes the first of something in this episode, at least. It probably happened last episode. I don't remember if I talked about it. But the first of something that I really love that Samurai Jack does, which is it changes its aspect ratio. So this show is in 4:3 aspect ratio. It's boxy. But then every once in a while, like when Samurai Jack is looking towards the horizon and sees the big crusher machine coming at him, it switches to a cinema ratio. So you have black bars on the top and bottom of your screen to make it like extra epic. And then it goes back to the 4:3. I really love that. I think that's a nice way to like accentuate when something.
Samurai Jack uses this in such a good way throughout the whole series to emphasize things and like just set scenes. And it's so beautiful the way they have drawn it and how some... Because if you stayed in the 4:3 aspect ratio the whole time, you wouldn't get to see, like, the scenery and stuff. Right. And some of the scenery is really beautiful as well. Like, you don't really tend to notice, like, a whole bunch of it because it is in the background all the time. But this whole so right after the crusher scene, he runs into three guys who are on the street, which is where he gets the name Jack, because they keep calling him Jack.
They're like, yo, Jack came down from the sky and started shibbity bang and sample do bow and took out the sword and chopped a car.
And Jack was all like, swickety swack. And then he was all like, "Wow, wow, wow!"
Their recap is great.
It's great.
We should. Yeah. That's how we should recap all of our shows in just complete nonsense.
But yeah, no, those guys were great.
They're fun, and Jack just stands there like watching them for a while as they're doing all this. Like, what the hell is going on? And then finally, they stop, and he's like, "Where am I? Who are you? What is this? I hate everything."
But did you take note of anything in the background?
Mm-mm.
All the light posts along the street are cood shaped.
Oh.
there's like, the whole time cars are flying over the top of them. Like, the buildings are, like, these are the buildings in that scene. They're all the red and black ones. Like, it just looks really nice with, like, the contrast and the yellows and all that sort of stuff. And it looks... There's a scene where they're actually telling him where he is, where it zooms out, and it's just, like, toxic waste and destruction and, like, this massive city. And you see normal cars and... It just that the environment in this show is set up so well for Jack to be like, I need to get back and stop a coup so this terrible future never comes to pass.
Would you say that he's got to get back to the past?
Yes.
I love in this scene he asked them, he's like, he says something about like, I need to speak with your king or something like that. And they start laughing. They're like, man, you don't see Aku. Aku sees you. And he's like, excuse me, Aku. And then he starts looking around and there's like soda ads with Aku's face on them. And like that one with the little girl on the beach with, for the sunblock and the dog's pulling down her panties, but it's Aku. And like, there's that one where it's like the little kid who's being abused, and if you look at it from adult height, you can't see the bruises on his face, but if you look at it from child height, you can see the bruises on his face, but it's Aku. And then there's the one where it's like Post Malone eating Doritos, and he turns into Post Limon, except for it's Aku. And then there's the one where like
ba-ba-da-ba, I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's that, but it's Haku. And then there's the one where it's like ba-ba-ba-da-ba,
it's Haku.
Yo creo Taco Bell, but it's Haku instead of a Chihuahua. And then there's the one, you're supposed to pull me out of these, MC.
No, because it's literally the Haku is everywhere, and yeah. Oh my god, that so. There's so much like futuristic but modern, like he seemed to have mixed so much like modern and kind of futuristic stuff. It's you know what it reminds me of?
Hmm.
It reminds me of Blade Runner, the original one, with Harrison Ford, and he's out on the street, and there's all those companies that have gone out of business, but there's still, like, ads and stuff up of, like, all those ads.
Yeah.
Like all the companies and stuff. Like, it's kind of reminiscent of, like, it has that feel to it.
It's really gorgeous. I mean, like, we can't keep coming back to this.
No.
I guess we can, but... This show just looks so goddamn good. Like, it's so pretty, and it's still that simple art style that was established with Dexter's Lab, but just, like, weaponized to make these gorgeous vistas and really emotive characters with such few lines. It's really something special.
Here's what... So, a lot of his work, they've got, like, thick outlines, and that happens in this show, except for Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Jack's all thin and, right. Sleek. And he like, contrasts with them a lot. And, like, it just works.
It's very good. It's very good. So the kids on the street send him into a bar. Because, of course, you do. And it takes him a long time. The bar's, like, right there. And this show takes, like, 20 seconds to get him up to knocking on the door of the bar, just to like set tone and mood. And it's just,
there's music in it.
It's just moving. Like... It's weird that this cartoon, the act of Samurai Jack walking up to the door of a bar is evocative in this show.
So here's the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Three slots open and there's three sets of eyes that pop out. And then,
right, vertically. He has one slot, and then below that another slot, and then below that another slot.
Yeah. And he has this conversation with this person on the other side of the door, or people. We're not sure at this point. And then he's like, I need refreshment, or something like that. He says something.
He asks it in a really archaic way of some sort.
Yeah. And the guy's like, he's what? Like, he's like, and then the
excuse me, fine sir, may I refresh myself in your fine establishment with a bit of a beverage? And the guy's like,
And the guys on the street are like, yo, Jack just wants a drink, yo. and he's like, oh, a drink? Why didn't you just say so? And then the door opens, and he walks in to...
Hang on, before he walks in, MC. Music. The music starts here. Here's the thing. I talked about this on Too Young for This Trek last week. After we recorded our last episode of Samurai Jack, I love this music. And so I went and looked it up on YouTube and hit play on somebody who had uploaded a version of the music from this club scene, which I'm not going to try and mimic right now because I'm editing this. So you at home, you're hearing it right now. It's f***ing good, right? It's f***ing good. And this beat, it's just you get pumped up, you want to get do stuff, you get hyped, you want to dance, you want to jump, you want to get in a big sword fight brawl with some lizard men, and as it plays,
you want to exercise music.
Yeah.
You want to get this.
The first thing you see is Jack's ears start bouncing to the beat of the music, which is very good. His ears are like, what the hell is this?
Yeah.
And then MC, that YouTube video finished, and YouTube was like, the algorithm MC was like, you know what you want to hear? You want to hear Samurai Jack club scene music. And so it played another video of the club scene music. And then that one finished, and it did it again. And I'm pretty sure I watched like 4 or 5 videos in a row, not watching them. I just put it on and the song just kept playing. And I was just sitting there like, hell yeah, man, let's do this. And I'm pretty sure I spent like 20 minutes listening to the club scene music from Samurai Jack, yeah, not realizing that it kept playing over and over again. Anyway, all right, now well, you can talk about him going to the club.
Yeah, he walks in and essentially he walks into the cantina scene from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. Aliens and everywhere.
And essentially, there is a character that's standing next to the six-eyed monster that looks very much like a Star Wars character who shot first.
There's a Greedo? I don't remember there being a Greedo.
Yeah, he's standing right as he walks in.
Huh.
He's standing right next to like the guy with the six eyes.
The guy with the six eyes was, of course, the security guard at the door. It was not three yeah. people looking through the door. It was an alien with three sets of eyes, which is cute. And then he gets in a bar fight, like, immediately.
So, I can't tell if this guy is supposed to be, like, reptilian or some other weird species and...
Yeah,
he's got like scales. Or...
They're very much akin to the first enemies I ever fought in the Dungeons and Dragons games, which were some lizard men in a swamp. That's what these guys look like. They're big old walking bipedal lizards, and they get offended because Jack's just staring at them like he's staring at everything, including the go-go dancers, because this club and this children's show has go-go dancers in it. Now they're not stripping; they're just thumping along to the bass. But definitely, you know, it being a little bit sexy in this here cartoon with these go-go dancers. And Jack's just like completely befuddled by everything. And then the lizard man punches him like in the face.
And his face is just popping around, and then he concentrates on this one girl and she parts her hair because her hair's in front of her eyes, much like mine is normally. I have it brushed back at the moment, but she parts her hair, her fringe, and she has three eyes, and Jack's mm-hmm. just like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to stare, I'm just not used to this. And the alien guy's like, no, human, it's not that easy. And he's like, just let me apologize for my behavior. And the big guy's like, no, that's not going to work. And then he pulls out a hydraulic sword and it expands into like this almost spear-like thing with like edges and weird protuberances. And he's like, no, I'm going to hurt you, human. And then the guy attacks Jack, and Jack's just like, your arm's gone. I got a magic sword.
Before that, though, it does cut to the dogs for just a second. And the dogs are very important.
Oh, yeah.
Because it cuts to these three talking dogs who are talking to a big burly man. And they're like, so, are you going to help us? And he's like,
oh, no.
No. And he walks away from that.
That happens after he cuts their arm off. Oh, is it? Before, okay. But before the...
the all-out brawl.
Rest of the group jumps him, I'm pretty yeah. sure. Like, because a group of the same aliens attack Jack.
Yeah.
And as that's happening, the big burly dude's like another lizard-type creature.
Mm-hmm.
Who's... The cup that he's using's weird. Like, it's got like a saucer shape on top. Like a... alien craft on top is really weird.
Like it's like a space martini glass.
Yeah. And the dogs are like, oh no.
They're like, we need somebody to help us. We've asked like everybody here. And as they say that, they look up and Jack is just like fighting 23 lizard men all at once. And they're like, except that guy. We haven't asked him yet.
And Jack just annihilates them all. And they're all like shooting missile fingers and he's just like dodging everything and then cutting them up. And
now remember dear listener, as all this is happening, there's that song again. It's just still playing. that song is just still playing. That bass line is still going. It's relentless. It never stops. It's so good.
And then the dog, as soon as the fight is over, the dog with the monocle walks over and he's like, "Excuse me, sir."
That would be MC. That would be Sir Colin Bartholomew Montgomery Rothschild III.
There we go. And he walks over and he's like, "Excuse me, sir. Can we talk to you?" And Jack's immediately like, "Demon dogs that talk."
The dog comes up in like a posh British accent. It's like, "Oh, may we have a moment of your time?" And Jack's response is, "Talking demon dogs." It's so good. And the dog goes, "Where?"
Yeah, he's like, "Demon talking dogs of a coup." And he turns around and he's like, "Where? What? Huh?" And he's like, "Oh no, I am by no means a demon or a minion of Aku." And then Jack's like, "But you speak in the language of man."
He's like, "Yeah, duh." So the dog brings Jack back to their table, which is in like a little pod thing within the club. So the music's a little muted, but it's still there. Don't you worry. We still got that bass going. But then MC, there's a moment. Listen, I'm spoiling. And you know what? We'll come back to it because this is my best moment. So he brings them to them and they start talking about what's going on. And basically, a couple things get found out here. One, Jack says something about like, I don't remember how it comes up, but they figure out that Jack's in the past. They like carbon date him and he's thousands of years old. And so that's one important thing, is we do get confirmation that this is in fact the future. And Jack's like, "Man, this world's messed up. There's so many aliens here." And they're like, "Well, yeah, Aku, like, generations ago used up all the resources on Earth, so he opened portals to other worlds in order to steal resources from other planets, just like biker mice from Mars." So that's an important thing. And then the third important thing is that dogs have evolved. These aren't alien dogs, MC. These are Earth dogs that have evolved, and these dogs are archaeologists who were at a dig site where they were digging up they're dogs, and they were digging ancient bones.
Yes, but they were trying to look up dog history,
right? But MC, they're dogs, and they were digging up bones because they're dogs.
Which, dogs being archaeologists makes perfect sense when you think about it like that.
It's so good. But yes, they were, like you said, they were digging up information about prehistoric dogs or ancient dogs, right?
Ancient dogs. Jack actually talks about how dogs were loyal and stuff in his time, but they didn't really talk, and that's when they carbon date him and they realize he's from the distant past. And
they're like, "Oh my gosh, all our theories are correct because you know about the ancient dogs."
Yeah, and essentially they convince Jack to come and help them. So because Aku's enslaved them, because while they were on their archaeological dig, they discovered powerful crystals that helped him get his power more.
There's some sort of an energy source.
Yeah. And I guess that then Aku enslaved them to dig up more crystals, but they don't want to do that. So they want to hire Jack to defeat robots?
They don't really specify at this point. They just, they ask him to come help and liberate them, basically.
Yeah.
And this, I think, is where Samurai Jack becomes, I mean, obviously he's, you know, he's a samurai, but this is where this becomes a samurai show, which I want to investigate for a second here, because I know you've asked for samurai shows to be the topic for our next set of episodes. And to me, as somebody who is not a samurai aficionado, the staple of a samurai show, or the staple of a samurai story, is really the story of a powerful warrior of some sort traveling from place to place, and as he arrives in a place, kind of accidentally, he's not seeking out a way to help people, but he kind of falls into a situation where he ends up helping somebody who's being in some way oppressed by somebody else.
Correct.
Does that sound right to you?
Even though samurais were the warriors of their lords, and the Ronin were the ones who were wanderers and explorers, but for some strange reason, I guess in modern culture and like storytelling, they've kind of been muddled together. But essentially, if you've seen The Last Samurai, the guy who teaches Tom Cruise about all like honor and swordplay and all that sort of stuff, like how he is towards the Shogun, how he's deferential to his lord, how I guess it's all about honor and lawfulness and justice.
Okay.
But they go about it in such a way that they come at their enemies face on. Like, they don't sneak around and stab people in the back. They're very much like, I'm going to kill you. Come face me.
Right. And they,
that's what a samurai
they're
is.
Also not a police force, though. Like, I feel like the wandering aspect is kind of an important part, at least to samurai stories, maybe not historically, but to the tropes of samurai stories, right? Like the idea that they,
yes,
kind of are outsiders in whatever place that they're bringing justice to.
Sometimes, yes. Yeah.
So by that token, MC, would you say, or perhaps would you agree with me, that if we were not a cartoon podcast, but instead a live-action television show podcast, we could include the Bill Bixby Incredible Hulk series as a samurai show, because that is a show about the Hulk traveling.
Ooh.
Or about Bruce Banner traveling from place to place, and then everywhere he goes, he gets mixed up into some stuff and has to turn into the Hulk to punch some bad guys, and then wanders off to the next town.
That's the one with Lou Ferrigno?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's a samurai show.
Not really, because he turns into a big green monster rather than using a katana.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have the sword, but the storytelling.
No, the sword is the other aspect to that. He has to use a sword.
Well, what if it's a future samurai and he uses like a space laser? Then he's not a samurai?
I mean, is it technically still a sword? Is it a laser katana?
Maybe.
Is it like that one sword from the Mandalorian episode of Clone Wars?
The Darksaber?
The Black Blade.
I just watched a Rebels episode about the Darkblade. Anyway, we're not here to talk about Star Wars because we could spend all day talking about that. Hey, someday we got to cover the Star Wars cartoons. Is the Clone Wars a samurai show? No. Where the hell were we? Oh, so he takes off with the dogs and they're like, oh, wait, dude, we never got your name. Now, this is weird to me, MC, because obviously we...
Wait.
Uh-huh.
Before we go any further, it's just occurred to me. Is Samurai Jack a sci-fi show as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah? Because Star Wars is a fantasy series. I'm not sure if you know that or not.
Oh, like it's science fantasy versus science fiction?
Yeah.
This is probably way on the side of science fantasy, Samurai Jack, I would say.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I'm like...
Yeah, because nothing. So the breakdown I heard, like, that I love about science fiction versus science fantasy is that science fantasy science fantasy cares about who the character is. Like the fantastical elements care about who the character is. So like the Force, only like certain people can use the Force. whereas science fiction does not care about who the characters is. So, like, if anybody got their hands on the Starship Enterprise, they could go zooming around the galaxy like Captain Kirk does, which actually is the plot of the upcoming Nickelodeon Star Trek cartoon for kids. It's about a bunch of outcast kids who find an abandoned Starfleet ship and then go zooming across the galaxy having adventures. So that's a simplified breakdown I've heard on the difference between science fiction and science fantasy. So I think the fact that, like, Jack controls a mystical sword and also is, like,
able that's to what be I was saying,
the yeah. best fighter in the world makes this science fantasy.
Well, the other, like, well, I mean, Star Wars is full of, like, fantasy tropes, like the hero's journey and all that sort of stuff. Like, they literally have space wizards, and I'm not sure if you realize this yet or not, but Palpatine was a necromancer and turned into a lich.
Yes, he was. You're right. Yeah. I don't like liches. They freak me out.
Chewbacca's a barbarian.
Oh man, Lando's a rogue.
Han's a rogue.
Han's also a rogue. Well, yeah, of course. What's Leia though? Leia doesn't really get into scraps too much, so it's hard to say. Anyway, MC, focus.
I just had a half a liter of beer while we were recording this. I'm not focusing.
Focus is not. So then he names himself Jack. Because we know the show's called Samurai Jack, and we saw all those kids calling him Jack at the beginning, so we're like, okay, he's gonna call himself Jack. Like, clearly that's where this is going. But why? He must have a name, right? Did he never get a name when he was a little baby boy?
I'm pretty sure he must have, and he was definitely like a prince. But at the same time, would you want to give your real name in a world where a coup is ruling and he's your mortal enemy?
Okay. Okay, that's a good point. That's a really good point. So he calls himself Jack, and they're like, oh, that suits you. So then... The waitress is like, oh man, she's working for Aku. And she's clearly watching him like all suspicious, like, and so you're like, oh no, something's up. And then she like is like, I'm taking a break, and puts a cloak on, and we get like a great little montage of her moving through the city, and you're just gonna see all these cool vistas and stuff. And then she ends up in this like temple to Aku, where there's these like weird fuzzy triple fish people who are like going, oh great and mighty Aku, and then he appears and they're like, the waters of our home have been destroyed, and we've been traveling world to world looking for somewhere we can live. Our whole species' existence depends on you allowing us to live in your oceans. And then Aku explains that he knows this because he's the one who destroyed the waters on their home by mining their home planet. And he will grant them permission to live in his oceans, provided they build a monolithic statue to him that rises out of the ocean in his honor. And man,
every month,
this guy is messed up.
Every month they have to make a new one. And one of them calls him a monster, and the leader is like, hey, he didn't mean that. He's just young and impulsive. Just please ignore him. And then
he sends that guy to like a world of torture, I believe. The one who's impulsive. But yeah, then the waitress comes up and is like, I just saw this guy in a bar kick all kinds of ass. Like, so much ass.
Oh, the next bit is, and then immediately after that, we get the scene of Jack getting in their rocket and then blasting across the world. And we get a whole bunch of, like, epic scenes of, like, the ground and, like, weird creatures and... like pyramids and there's other stuff as well, like weird bubble trees. And then they get to the dig site with all the dogs. But Jack is like terrified, sitting in the back seat with one of them, one of the dogs, and he's just like, he looks like he's almost about to throw up. And one of the dogs just has his head out the window, like dogs do.
Of course he does, because he's a dog. And they're being driven. They're being driven as slaves, the same way that Jack's family was. And you know, everybody's worn out and tired and stuff. And Jack's like, this is terrible. This is awful. Not even dogs should be treated like dogs.
Yeah.
And then he kind of looks around like, oh, sorry.
There's one scene in like all of this. It's like a chihuahua with like an overpacked pack of crystals, like it's like dragging it along the ground on its back. It's so cute.
It's so sad. They're all beaten down and stuff.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Aku used some sort of magic to like, let me check out this warrior, this guy you saw in a bar fight. And he sees that it's Jack, and he's like, aw, snap, and sends out a whole bunch of big bad Beetleborgs after him. And that's pretty much where the episode ends. Like, they're like,
yeah.
One of the dogs comes running up, is like, oh my god, they're on their way. And Jack like climbs up a tower to look at the horizon, and we get that cinema aspect ratio again, and we just see like this black wave coming over the hillside and this sound. And I don't think they specifically have said that they're robots that are coming to attack yet, but that sound kind of gives you the hint.
Yeah. And Jack is just up on top of this building, and he has the it's happened a few times already in this. It's where his soft eyes turn into hard eyes. Mm-hmm. I love that. It's like, oh, stuff is about to go down because Jack has hard eyes on.
I like it. To be continued. But first, yeah. MC, before we go to be continued, we got to talk about the best and the worst. With the worst first, MC.
Oh, I don't know. This episode is so good.
It's really very good.
God damn it. What's the worst thing? It's too damn short.
That's fair.
It's only 22 minutes long.
My worst thing was that opening, because it was just a little bit weird that it was like the opening was like,
yeah,
guess what? He's in the future. And then the episode's like, ah, oh, Jack's figuring out that he's in the future. And I'm like, yeah, but you just told me that in the opening. It was just a little strange. My best thing, MC, I started to talk about it with the dogs and then I paused. So when Jack gets seated at the table in the pot with all the dogs, again, it's a long stretch of silence. Well, not silence, because, oh, what's that? It's that music again. There it is. It's just bumping in the background. And Jack's looking around at all the dogs, and he's like, there's a dog over there. It's just sitting at a table like a person. And then he looks at another dog, and then he looks at the other dog, and then the dog just slowly smiles, and there's a sound effect of, and then Jack slowly smiles back, and it's the sound of, and that little sound of their smile is my favorite thing. That was the best.
Yeah. It's pretty good. I gotta say, my favorite thing is probably the best. It's so hard to choose, but I reckon the scene with the three guys that actually call Jack for the first time. Those three guys are great. I think one's green, one's blue, and one's red. And the green dude has like a lava lamp hat. It's just great.
They're pretty fun.
Yeah.
God, this show's good. I just want to talk about how good this show is. But we can't. We got to save that for next week when we finish talking about episode 3 and then put it on the big list, MC.
Yeah.
I'm excited to get there. So until then, MC, any last thoughts on episode 2?
It was great. Go listen to the club music.
Oh, they've been listening to the club music on and off this whole episode, MC. Every time I talk about the club music, hey, you know what, MC? Here it is again. Did you hear it? Oh, nice. It's so good. with that, friends, thank you for listening. Be sure to write in. Tell us what you think about Samurai Jack. Either hit us up on Twitter, send us an email, Discord. You know all the places you can find us. Tell us what you like about Samurai Jack. And we'll be back next week to wrap up our conversation about it and put it on the big list. Until then, MC.
Thanks for listening to the best animated shows ever so far. Find the show on Twitter at BaseSFcast or email us at BaseSFcast@gmail.com. That's BaseSFcast. Our intro music is Funnin' and Sunnin', and our outro music is Motivator, both by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com, and licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0 license. Thanks again for listening, and tune in next time.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.